than what we have, what you're used to with me. We'll get to our text verse here in just a little bit. Once we do, we'll stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God then. But tonight, guys, what I want to do is I want to bring to you, by way of introduction, this second stage. Now, I preached this message this morning, and afterwards went home and did some tinkering on it. Just didn't feel, my personal opinion, I'm a bit hypercritical myself, and I just didn't feel like it got off the ground like it needed to this morning. And so I went home and took some things out and put some things in. And I want to take us in the dry. I know what the Lord has on my heart, and sometimes conveying that in the manner that it remotely satisfies the preacher is quite difficult, guys. You got to understand, most preachers are hypercritical of themselves, and I know that I'm one of those guys. But basically, I want to speak to you guys today on this second stage. If you look back in what we've been preaching just before we went away on this mindset issue, on the Christian mindset, we've been looking at the mindset of improvement. If you go back to all the different topics, whether it's when you're looking at discipline, decisions, you're looking at desire, you're looking at defense, you're looking at direction, we're looking at defeats, dealing with defeats in your life. And then finally, you know, we deal with that determination at the very end. It was a circle that we wanted to complete. We completed it, I feel, last Sunday night. And in my heart of hearts, before we had went away, I was finished with the mindset series. I was done. But I knew what I wanted to preach next. I knew how and what I wanted to preach, and the topic that I wanted to bring to our churches. And when I started putting it together, and I was sitting there chatting with Pastor Boyhill, our pastor, and he goes, "Man, this right here could be the second stage to that of a Christian mindset." And I just didn't, at the first, I didn't put two and two together. And I thought, "Man, you're right. I like this." And begin to delve into it and dig into it into a great way. And so, whereas we look at the mindset of improvement, what I want to bring to you tonight and over the next series of weeks is I want us to begin to look at the Christian mindset of influence, guys. The Christian mindset of influence. The word influence is defined as the capacity to have an effect on the character, development, and behavior of someone or something. And so, guys, it's a topic that we hear quite a bit today. We hear it about the TED Talks, and we hear it in a nation that in reality is addicted to YouTube. And these people are self-proclaimed influencers. They feel as if they have a niche market, and they do. And when you say a niche market, that may be 250 million people, you know what I'm saying? But it's that their niche, and they're influencing those people. And we look at them, and we single them out and say they are influencers. But, guys, in reality, every single one of us in this room today, in some shape, form, or fashion, every one of us in the life that the Lord has given us, we are an influence to other people. It may just be one person. It may be 1 million people, whatever it may be. But we are an influence to people in this world today. And on the other side of that, you cannot be an influence to others without someone or something being an influence to you as well. And that's a reality, guys, that we need to face. The Apostle Paul said this to the church at Philippi. He said, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample." Beloved, his influence was upon those that was in the church. His influence was upon those that was in all the churches. And we obviously know that throughout Christendom that Paul's influence is mighty, and Paul's influence is tremendous in it. And we know it influences us yet here today. And so, guys, whether we want to admit it or not, or whether we want to accept the fact, we are affected by things in this world today. Our development, our behavior, even our character, guys, is influenced by others and in this world. Okay, we were going back and forth on the WhatsApp group for South. I don't know about you guys, but I shot a message out. I said, "Okay, guys, I'm hungry now. All right, we're all talking about what we're going to eat tonight and what's going to happen after church for the chicken that we're getting." And by the time we got through with about 10 messages going across that thing, my stomach was growling. I was being influenced, and I was thinking about that wing roulette that we're going to eat here shortly tonight. And yes, I'm thinking about it right now. Amen? So I need to get us into the spiritual mindset. But guys, that is the reality. Our development, our behavior, and yes, even our character is affected. It's influenced by others in this world. And you need to understand, as a Christian, as a Bible believer tonight, guys, you have a huge role in this world. You may feel like you're just a drop of sand in a beach somewhere. You may feel like you're just a little bitty speck in a world that is massive. And we all are from that perspective. But the reality is, the smallest speck today in the sea of just a multitude of different pieces of sand, is still influencing someone. It's still having an effect on others. And guys, there's obstacles that we are going to face along the way. There's obstacles and elements that are in our life right here, right now, which affect our ability to influence others, and it affects our influence that, or the influence that people have on us. So tonight, guys, I want to look at the very first topic, if you will, the very first element in our life concerning influence. And it is an obstacle. The first obstacle that we're going to address is that of fear. We want to look at what fear is. So open your Bibles up to John chapter 14 tonight. John chapter 14. And this is our text, if you will, for the next 2 weeks. John chapter 14. And when you get there, guys, if you will, let's stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God. John chapter 14 tonight. Talking about being influence in the world that the Lord has given us. John chapter 14, looking with me in verse 1 through 4. John 14 and verse 1 through 4. The Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there you may be also. Whither I go, ye know, and the way, ye know." Brother Preston, if you'll be so kind to bless tonight's message and sermon to our hearts this evening.
Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to be in church tonight. I pray that you'll open all our hearts and minds as you speak through Brother Stagner. I pray, God, that you'll just help him to depend upon you and allow you to be his voice tonight. Bless the reading of your word and bless the remaining time we have here together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for standing. Please be seated if you will. So this first obstacle of fear, guys, is what we want to talk about this evening. Now, here's the reality about fear. We fear things that we are unsure about. Fear has something inside of our life, guys, that causes us to do things that we simply should not do or should not address. Fear is a strong force in the world that we live in today. But I'm going to ask you this question. Now, we're not talking about the fear of God tonight. There should be a fear of God in every single, personally, there should be a fear of God in every single person on this planet today. You know, some of these people, I was talking with someone one time, and I was sitting there just trying to share a little bit of the gospel with them, and not real heavy, wasn't being massively pushy or anything along that line, but just chatting with them and going over different things. And they said, "Well, here's the reality. Only God can judge me and who I am. Only God can do that." And we were at a point in time in this conversation that it had pretty much passed its point of no return, and it had reached its pinnacle of any type of benefit. And I had laid the gospel out as plain and as kind and as compassionate as I could. And I said, "Well, you know what? You're exactly right about that. Only God can judge you." And I said, "But that should bring so much fear into your bones. I would much rather be judged by every human on this planet than be judged by an almighty God who can take my soul and put it into eternity. Amen." You know, so I'm here to tell you tonight, guys, that the fear that we're speaking of is a fear that does not come from God. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy in chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind." Now, those three things that come together, they come from the Lord Jesus Christ. That power that God has given us, that comes from a Greek word called dunamis. It's the same word that we get dynamite in the English language. It has power with it. That power has the same direction, it has the same area that it's walking into as an influence. We have the power, guys, to influence people in this world. Let me ask you a question here tonight. Do you think dynamite has the power to change the structure of something? Absolutely it does. When dynamite is used correctly, when they drill those holes down inside the side of a mountain and they drop those little sticks of dynamite in there and they have them precisely drilled into the exact amount distance away from one another, it's quite safe. If you chuck a piece of dynamite out in the middle of a group of people, it's not safe at all. But they do that into a manner to where when the explosion goes off, they take off exactly the side of that mountain in a perfect cliff, just like that, the way they wanted to. That's the power that the Lord has given us in this life. He has given us a power to positively affect people in this world today. He's given us that power. He's given us that dunamis, if you will. He's given it to us to use for Him. Not only has He given us power, but notice the balancing word, love, end of love. All right, that love, guys, what you've got to think about that love. Listen, when you use that power to influence people in this world today, it needs to be rooted and grounded in love, does it not? You can't take that power and it be unhinged and just, you know, get in somebody's face and just and unleash every bit of the gospel that you know and shake them silly without having some type of compassion, some type of love there. But when you look at the very last thing that the Lord has given us to be an influence in this world, it's a sound mind. Guys, in all fairness, the word sound means healthy. I've talked to you about this before. You guys know this, I'm sure. But, you know, when someone has an injured limb, an injured arm, or injured something along that line, the contralateral side, let's say if I had lost my right limb, my contralateral, the other side of my body, would be known as the sound side. So the healthy side of your body is the sound side. So what has the Lord given us? He has not given us the spirit of fear. He hasn't given us this spirit that makes us do things that are anti-Christian, that makes us do things that are against the Word of God, that makes us do things that are sinful and shameful unto Him. But rather, He's given us a spirit of power, one that can have an effect on those that are around us. But He's given that power to us with love, that we ought to use that effective spirit with love. But He's also given it with a balanced and healthy, controlled mind. I don't like using the word crazy. I'm not saying that, but unstable. The Bible says that an unstable man is unfaithful in all his ways. So guys, fear will cause you to do things that you should not do. It'll cause you to do things that you never in your life imagined that you would do. And so when fear sets in, guys, when fear sets in, we begin to walk through doorways. We walk through doorways, allowing the influence of this world and allowing the influence of the ways of this world. Fear brings in with it the works of the flesh. If you go through the multitude of the works of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5 and you find uncleanness, you find lasciviousness. Lasciviousness is just unbridled sin. It's just unbridled sin, doing whatever feels right, doing whatever you want to do. Guys, look, just because we can do something, Christian liberty, just because we have the liberty to do it doesn't mean that we should. Just because we have the right to do something, just because something's illegal, doesn't mean that we should. We got to be the bigger man, the bigger woman, the bigger child, amen, and take a stand and influence the world in the way God has given us. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, all these different things are the works of the flesh. And guys, the majority of them, the only one I left out, you see, was adultery. And you can even link that to some form of fear. Guys, they're linked to having a fear that is unnatural in our life, a fear that does not come from God. Remember, guys, people typically fear the unknown and and what they do not understand. That's usually the two things that people are afraid of, that which they know not and that which is unknown. So why do we fear? So why do we talk about fear tonight? What is fear and where does it come from this evening? The first thing that I want you to see that fear is a byproduct of doubt. Fear is a byproduct of doubt. Now, the word doubt occurs in the Bible 13 times, and it's defined as not being certain about something, especially about how good or true it is. My friend, if you begin to doubt certain things, like let's say you're reading through the Holy Scriptures and you're reading, you say, Peter, you know, Peter said, you know, the Lord said, you know, Peter said, hey, you know, if it's you, bid me to come. And he says, come on, man. And he gets on out of the ship and he starts walking on that water and here he goes. And you go, you know what? I've tried to walk on water and it ain't never worked for me. Okay? Now this gravity, solid versus liquid thing, it just doesn't fit. That is completely wrong in physics. You begin to doubt the validity of the Word of God. That's a dangerous place to be because I want you to understand what doubt will start to bring into your life. When you doubt the words in that book, if you're going to doubt one, you're going to doubt many. You can't look at one and go, you know what? I'm unsure what that means and what that says. I'm unsure where that what that's telling me to do. I don't know if that's actually true. If one's not true, all of them can't be true. Do you understand what I'm saying tonight, guys? Fear will set into your life. Fear is a byproduct of doubt in our days. They go hand in hand one to another. So I want to show you something tonight, and this is what I want you to, I'm praying this evening that what I'm getting ready to show you will sink in deep, I mean sink in real deep for tonight and next Sunday concerning this message and this issue of fear, our first obstacle in developing the Christian mindset of influence. May I say this, that doubt is an enemy of influence. And it produces fear in our life, in our walk. So turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy 28, and I want you to see something. Deuteronomy 28, as you know, is the last chapter In the book of Deuteronomy, obviously written by Moses, it actually shows Moses' death. He wrote his own funeral, if you will, wrote his own eulogy. And the nation of Israel is preparing to go into the promised land. They will be led into the promised land by Joshua. Look toward the end of the chapter, and I want you to see what happens as the Lord is warning Israel of the curses which will overtake them if they are disobedient to His word. And so the first thing we're speaking of is doubt tonight, and how doubt and fear are associated one to another. Fear being a byproduct of doubt. Deuteronomy chapter 28. We're going to begin in verse 58. We're going to read all the way down to verse 66. The Bible says, if thou wilt not observe, verse 58, if thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. Then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sickness, and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee, until thou be destroyed. And ye shall be left few in number, whereas ye were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because thou wouldest not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught. And ye shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all the people from the one end of the earth even unto the other. And there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find, watch this, no ease. Neither shall the sole of thy foot, watch this, have rest. But the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart, and failing of eyes. And of sorrow of mind. Watch verse 66. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shall have none assurance of thy life. Beloved, the Lord is warning them when disobedience, if you disobey the law of this book, the word of God that He has given unto this chosen nation who is going into a chosen land prepared for them, that if you disobey my words, I'm going to bring those plagues that you are afraid of. That it was in Egypt. I'm going to give you plagues that's not even written in the book of this law. And you're going to be a people scattered. But what's going to be the single element there? Fear and doubt are going to be associated in their life. Doubt and fear are going to be together. They go hand in hand, my friend. Fear is a byproduct of doubting. Guys, when Peter sunk in the water, I mentioned that just a minute ago, when the Lord reached down and grabbed him, what was the Lord's words to him? O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? So when is the last time, I ask you this question here tonight, when is the last time that you doubted things in your life? When is the last time that you doubted where you're going in your life, what your placement may be? When is the last time that you begin to doubt, am I doing the right thing? Am I going the right place? Is this where I need to be? We heard all those months, I think about 6 months, that we heard about the mindset of improvement and how to make a successful Christian life, how to have it and live it for the Lord. We talked about being disciplined, refusing to do the things that would hinder you for success, and doing the things that will help you get success. Even though you don't want to do them, you do them anyway. That's what discipline is. We talked about the three big decisions that a person needs to make: setting the bar, being better, and blaming not. We talked about those things. We established them. We looked at the direction that a person needs to take, and then we spoke about the defense that a person needs to set up. We summed the whole thing up last Sunday with the determination, what completes that circle for the mindset, the Christian mindset of improvement. But tonight, guys, we're talking about being an influence. We're talking about putting legs under that improvement, being an influence in the world. Do you know the only reason we're in this world today, whether we're in Wales or Washington or whether we're in Europe or in South America, doesn't matter. The only reason a Christian is in the world tonight is to influence this world for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, man. The greatest gift that we are given in this world today, as much as I love my wife and I cherish her and I would give my life for her, lickety-split, that quick, I would give every organ I have to save my children's life, but yet still the greatest gift that we've all received is that of the Lord Jesus Christ, that of salvation tonight, amen. And that's why you and I are still here. If we had no purpose, no plan, no position in this world today, the Lord would have taken us out of here a long time ago. Amen? So we're here to be an influence. But doubt, guys, doubt will bring fear into our life. And it'll bring things into our days. And it'll cause us, guys, to begin to have a nervousness. And that starts with that doubt. I asked you, when's the last time you doubted? Guys, I don't know about you, but this chapter that we're going to be looking at, we've already read the first four verses. That the last time we'll look at John 14 tonight, we'll stay in it the entire time next Sunday. But that is the very chapter that solidified my heart as to where God was calling me. Just 5 miles up the road up here, about midnight, I rolled off the side of the bed. I was in the house by myself. My wife was at a lady's retreat, and I grabbed that old King James Bible and I put it on the side of the bed. I opened it up to John 14 and I read that chapter for over an hour, weeping and crying like a baby. You know what? Guys, I'm going to tell you, fear was creeping in. And I needed something from God. I didn't need anything from man. I didn't need anything from flesh and blood. I needed a touch from God, from heaven that night. And you know what? He showed up. Fear, my friend. Fear is a byproduct of doubt when you begin to doubt. Doubt brings about fear, which leads people to dabble, which leads people to dabble. Now, maybe you sit there today and you say, "Preacher, I am a Bible believer headlong. I know the Word of God. I would never change or alter the living Word of God, and I praise the Lord that you wouldn't do it." But when a soul is overtaken with fear, as a result of doubt, they will begin to dabble with the Word of God in so many ways that probably, guys, that we don't even think that we would. Begin to dabble with the words of God in so many aspects. Matter of fact, we begin to justify choices we're making, choices that we would have never even imagined possible. You say, "Well, preacher, that's not me. I'm too strong to do that." Well, I'll tell you what, Eve wasn't that strong. She dabbled. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" God said that. I said this morning, I've said this for 20 plus some odd years. Hey, listen, you know what? Where the devil puts a comma, God to put a period. And where God puts a comma, the devil puts a period. The Satan steps up and says, "Yeah, God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the trees which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Now, let's be honest with one another. We know what the Word of God says, and it doesn't say that right there. Never said anything about touching it. Genesis chapter 2, verse 17 says you can't eat of it. Now, I understand it's probably a pretty good practice and principle that if you're not supposed to eat something, you shouldn't be playing with it as a baseball either, right? I get that principle, but that's not what the Word of God said. So what happened? Eve dabbled. Why? Because she doubted. Satan showed up and said, "Yea, hath God said." Now, didn't he say that you could do this? Didn't he say that you have liberty? Didn't he say that all things are lawful unto you? Well, yeah. But you got to finish the verse. Eve dabbled with the Word of God, guys. Abraham dabbled with the Word of God. God gave him specific instructions. The Bible says in Genesis 16, verse 2, it says, "And Sarai said unto Abraham, Behold now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I obtain children by her." And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. Bottom line is, the Lord said that he's going to provide a child through Sarai, who became Sarah later on. It didn't matter how old she was. She could have been 423 years old, for that matter. If God promised to provide a seed through her, that was God's promise. But you know what happened? Abraham hearkened unto the voice of his wife, having heard God's word. What did he do? He dabbled with it. "Well, I know the Bible tells me to do this, but I think I'm going to lean over here and do what I think is right." That's dabbling with the Word of God. And we do that by fear. Abraham dabbled again in Genesis chapter 12, verse 13. He says, "I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee." So here's Abraham and them. Famine's in the land. They're standing out there before the Philistines, and Amalek comes up there, and they take them in there. And Abraham's like, "Man, I have a beautiful wife. They're going to take her and add them to their harem. Just tell them you're my sister." Now here's the deal. Technically, she's like a half sister, you know. half sister, twice removed, whatever it may be. You know how it is, Kentucky. I mean, anyway, you know, it's just they have those things. And so we say, well, technically she is his sister. Can I say this to you tonight, guys? Let's just make things simple. If it's a half-truth, it's a whole lie. If it's a half-truth, it's a whole lie. Amen? That carried on. Isaac did the same thing. Here's the promised child that the blessing would be in Genesis chapter 26. And in verse 7, the Bible says, and the men of that place asked him of his wife, and he said, she is my sister. For he feared to say, notice that, for he feared to say, she is my wife, lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. Now, at the end of the day, God showed up in both places. God refrained from Amalek ever taking Rebekah to wife or Sarai to wife. God showed up, amen. But guess what? God was going to show up anyway. If he'd have said, hey, you know what? This is my wife. And they said, well, she's a nice-looking girl. Let's take her. God may have struck them down right then and there. God may have closed up the wombs and made all of his harem barren for all that time to prove himself. But here's the deal. Fear moved him to doubt the promise of God's word. Fear brought into his life. It came into their lives. And what do? They begin to doubt with what the Lord had told them to do. Beloved, dabbling with the word of God, the everlasting truth, is a dangerous thing. And the majority of the times, fear is the very culprit of why we do it. Even those who dabble maliciously and purposely change the word of God because they're being led of Satan is typically a result of insecurity and conviction that sat in. So fear is a byproduct of doubt, which produces dabbling, ending, guys, ultimately in denial. We know back in Genesis chapter 3, and you know the story, the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Beloved, fear is a destructive force, one in which causes us to take our eyes off the Lord, take our eyes off His Word, take our eyes off His will, take our eyes off where He wants us to be, and place them on what and whom are around us. Fear enables the influence from other sources to take control of our life. Fear allows things to come into our days and makes us do things, guys, that in all fairness, we would have never done before. We see it in our world today. We see it amongst our young people. A recent study revealed that only 10% of teenagers surveyed said they had not been influenced by peer pressure. Only 10%. And in the same group, 28% of the teenagers agreed that they gave in to peer pressure just to improve their social standing. And nearly half of those surveyed admitted to picking on someone only after they saw another friend do it. Now, guys, I don't like bullies. I've always disliked bullies. I can't stand them. I think they suffer from little man syndrome. And they try to puff themselves up like a blowfish and a bullfrog and make themselves bigger than they really are. I don't like a bully. But the reality is, some of these people really wasn't bullies. They were just being pressured into doing what other ones were. Guys, according to a Canadian Lung Association, my friends smoke and I thought it was cool were the two main reasons why people began to smoke between the ages of 12 and 17. It flabbergasted me to see the research and the studies that we have in the world today, and yet how many people still smoke. It amazes me. The same study also found that 70% of teens who smoke have friends who smoke and started because of peer pressure. According to another research initiative, two-thirds of 10th graders, which is the ages of 15 and 16 years old, and two-fifths of 8th graders, which is the ages of 12 and 13 years old, have tried alcohol in some capacity. And from the same study, they found that approximately 30% of 8th graders, those 12 and 13-year-olds, have used illicit drugs. Every one of my children above the age of 13, I'm 16 and above, and it blows my mind to think there's a child out there, somebody's son, somebody's daughter, at the age of 12 or 13, would be taking illegal drugs. It amazes me. You know, we find, guys, that those that do drugs usually have friends that do drugs. We find that those who drink alcohol are more likely to convince others to take alcohol. Those that are taking drugs and drinking alcohol typically seek out those that do the same. Why say all this? What's the important factor of it? It's because, guys, we choose who we allow to influence our life. We choose by who and what door we open in our life. It's no different than Eve standing before that tree that day in the very first early days of mankind's existence. Her eyes saw something that she wanted, but it was the influence of Satan that pushed her over the cliff. Years ago, probably better part of 6 years ago now, I gave an illustration with a door, if you remember it. And you got to ask yourself in that doorway of your life, if it's open like that, the question is, can I get in? No. And then it's open a little further. Can I get in? No. And then it's opened a little further. Can I get in? No. And then it's opened up that wide. Can I get in? And unequivocally, the answer is what? Yes. Why is that so? Because those little stages, doubt comes into our mind, the door's opened ever so slightly. Fear enters in our heart because of what doubt has produced, and the door's open like that. We start to dabble and try to overcompensate with things and fears. And the doors open a little bit further. And then finally, we just go ahead and flat out deny the Word of God. And the doorway's open. And here comes the influence of the devil. Here comes the influence of sin. Here comes the influence of the world right on in. It makes itself its home and allows people to become the play puppet of Satan himself. His subtle words, guys, brought about doubt into her heart. It produced fear in her soul, leading her to dabble with God's word, resulting in her finally denying it, disobeying God, and ultimately the damnation of the human race. And beloved, it happens every single day. No child ever woke up in the morning and says, I think I'm going to be a heroin addict today. No boy ever got up and said, I think I'm going to be a male prostitute today. Hey, listen, let me tell you something. No daughter ever got out of the bed and said, I think, you know what? I think today is the day that I'm going to be fully addicted to drugs out there today, and I'm going to waste my life. No one ever did that spur of the moment. It was a step-by-step-by-step process, and most of it started with fear. One little step here, one little step there, and people will abuse the Holy Scriptures trying to justify what they're doing, all because of fear that is set into their life. They'll make ill choices in their life, and they'll blame others, and they'll cast away this, but the reality is they're doing it because they're simply afraid of not being included. The power to conform is great, but overcoming the influence of this world, guys, is not an easy task. But may I say it's a necessary one. There's a dire need for everyone in this room to overcome the wickedness of conformity. It requires strength and fortitude in this life, my friend. It requires strength and fortitude to be in the world and not of the world in the days that we are now living. Beloved, the world is filled with sinners and backbiters and envy. It's filled with hatred. It's filled with murder. It's filled with all of these different things, which when we finally open up that door and allow it to influence our life, that we think that we can control, and at the very end will turn and rend us yet again. So you need to decide tonight, which door are you going to walk through? If you conform, my friend, you are losing your effect on souls that God has put in your circle of influence. You're losing your effect for Christ in their life. If you stand for what is right, you don't have to stand in outright opposition of people today, but if you'll just stand for what is right, people will know what is not right, and let your life reveal what you oppose in the way that you live. Stand out and be counted for Christ tonight. But conformity, guys, which is a direct result of fear, there's no way others to turn that, hinders the influence of Christ. So I ask you this question here, and I'm going to start to wind down and I'll be finished. Is a few fleeting moments of inclusion and the feeling of being welcomed, is it worth the eternal placement for one soul? Maybe you sit here tonight and say, preacher, I'm saved and I'm born again, and praise the Lord for that. But in the nature and the aspect of an understanding of influence, when you begin to conform, those people that God has put divinely in your life to be a testimony for Him, and yet you lean over and conform into their ways and their life, number one, you've lost your effect on them. And number two, the blood will be on your hands if you don't use the influence that Christ has given you for Him. It doesn't mean you've got to tear them apart. It especially means that you don't have to be mean with them. The Bible tells us that He's given us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. We all have different circles, and we have these different circles for a reason. It's to be an influence. But fear is the thief of the Christian mindset. Think about this verse here that's going to be on the screen. Revelation chapter 21 and in verse 8. The Bible tells us here clearly, but the fearful and unbelieving, And then it goes on saying, the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now here's what the choice you have tonight concerning that verse. You either have to outright deny the existence of that verse, or accept the fact that the first two people, the first two characteristics, are the fearful and the unbelieving. We understand all the rest of them. They're easy. So my friend, it takes strength. It takes power. Beloved, the weak will succumb to the methodologies of worldliness and carnality. The weak will break in their stance upon righteousness, and they'll fall prey to the doorway of, and lose their influence of Christ in this world. The weak will fall prey to their own divisiveness. But not, guys, they're going to do it for one reason. And it's fear. That's it. No other reason. People conform because they're afraid. So, beloved, we want to see in our life as the children of God, we want to establish that Christian mindset of influence. The greatest gift we've been given is that of salvation. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who created everything and in whom all things consist. I've said it time and time again that nothing holds itself together unless Christ wills it to happen. And that very being, that very God, stepped off the realm of eternity, took off the robes of glory, and wrapped on the robes of flesh to pay a price that we couldn't pay, to give us a gift that we could not earn. And then he said, you know what? I'm leaving you here. I think about that maniac of Gadara, and I'll be done. A man possessed with thousands upon thousands of devils. His name was Legion, for we are many. That could have been up to 36,000 devils he was possessed with, a minimum of 12,000. He said, for we are many. He got saved. He got in his right mind. He got clothed. Hallelujah. Those things come together. And then guess what? He says, I want to go with you. I mean, all these disciples, they're packing up ship. They're getting onto the ship. They're going to the next town. They're going to preach. And here he was coming. I can picture him now. Here he was, a citizen of Decapolis, the 10 cities. One of those cities we've been in. It's called Bethshean, which is still there today. It's a ruins, but we've been there. And I just envisioned this guy and his family who probably hadn't seen him in years, or if not ever, in his right mind. And he's following Jesus. He goes, man, I want to go with you. The Lord turns to him and says, now, you got a job to do. The Bible uses these words, and he went forth and, what's that next P word? Published all the things that happened. That's why we're here. Our purpose is to publish, to preach, to proclaim the precious gospel of Jesus Christ. He wanted to go with the Lord. Jesus Christ told his disciples, where I go, you cannot come yet. I'm going to come again. So guys, fear. Fear is why we begin to doubt. Fear is a byproduct of doubt, I mean. Fear is why we begin to dabble and justify and try to do things to see if we can fit it into our life rather than our life fitting into it. Denial brings about destruction, or disobedience, I'm sorry. And finally, damnation. So, beloved, tonight, if you're struggling this evening with fear in your life, whatever it may be, there's an answer to your fear this evening, and it's all relationship-based. We're going to see in John 14 that the answer to your fear tonight is a relationship with the Father in heaven. Over 21 times the Father is mentioned out of 15 verses in John chapter 14. That's where it is. So, beloved, if you're here tonight and you're suffering from some fear in your days, doesn't matter what fear it may be, I can give you this assurance tonight from this book. It's not from God. It's not from God. He's not the author of confusion. You're here tonight and the Lord has spoken to your heart in some way, shape, form, or fashion. You're here tonight and there's a fear of what the next step may be. Get into this word. Bow your heads. Bow your hearts tonight. Ask the Lord to speak to you. But guys, you're going to have to close some doors. You're going to have to make some changes. If you make no changes, you get the same results. If fear is plaguing you tonight, you need to make a difference in your own life. so that you can make a difference in the lives of others. Will you bow your head this evening? Father in heaven, we do thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and time, Lord. And I pray that you take this message, that, Lord, you would write it upon the table of our heart and that we would not soon forget it. I pray, dear God, when temptations to conform to the ways of this wicked world, when it begins to speak to our hearts and our minds and we feel that inkling of fear set in, I ask of you, Lord, to help us check ourselves. Help us step back in a massive way, Lord, and doubt not your living word, but put our faith and trust in what you have given us in the pure, preserved, perfect word of God. Help us remember, Lord, that fear is a byproduct of doubting that word, but let us put our faith and our trust in what you have said. And I pray that you would direct our every step, my Lord. I pray, dear God, that you would use us in the capacity that you have chosen us and purposed us, that we may be a mighty and wonderful influence in the circles that you have placed us in. Lord, I love you. I pray tonight that we'd allow the Word of God, God the Father, to influence our lives, that we may overcome fear and influence others for you. In Jesus Christ's name we ask. Amen and amen. I hope and pray that God was good to you tonight in the preaching and teaching of His